Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Snow Surrender by Kristen Miller, narrated by Marie Hawkins and TJ Clark. Chapter 1. Snow. Somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. White Wolf Pack. Mirror, mirror on the wall, I whisper, walking toward the standing mirror in Malcolm's private chamber. Please tell me. Oh, why the hell am I talking to a piece of glass? It's not as if my reflection is going to stare back at me and say, you've slept with your best friend, had the best sex of your life, and now might have messed up everything with the guy of your dreams. Good luck wiggling your way out of this one. It'd be right on the money, though. My best friend Hunter and I were inseparable throughout childhood and adolescence, especially during our first transition as wolves. We'd take off into the forest, two stupid kids shifting and hunting and exploring our newfound strength and speed together. I can be myself around him, whether I'm managing my late father's business, the White Estate, a bed and breakfast that's seen better days, or rebelling against my stepmother and escaping to the forest to blow off steam. But 5 years ago, he moved away to find adventure and started flipping ski lodges around the world. When he left, Hunter was a total playboy, without a care in the world or a penny to his name. Now, he's still a total playboy without a care in the world, and he's leaving after I'm declared alpha tonight. He can't stay in one place long. Never could. He hasn't changed. Serial flirt, modern-day Casanova, adventure hound. All those years, we never veered out of the friend zone. No, all it took was one misunderstanding 2 nights ago. This weekend, the entire pack gathered for the full moon festivities to witness my declaration as alpha of the pack. Friday night at the masquerade ball, I mistook Hunter for Malcolm Taylor, billionaire jeweler from New York City. I wanted to steal a few minutes alone with him, seduce him a little, or a lot, see if we were compatible. But I fell under Hunter's sex spell. Okay, I know he's not magical or anything, but damn. And now I can't get enough of his body or the orgasms that ripple through me when he's near. My stepmother thinks my marrying the jeweler from New York is the only way we can save our estate from the debt it's fallen under. I'm not going to marry someone based solely on whether or not he can get us out of foreclosure. But I can't deny Malcolm is one of the most eligible bachelors in the country. He's intelligent, business savvy, and harnesses the undeniable charisma of a man who gets everything he wants. I simply need to know if he's as perfect in person as he is on paper. Malcolm closes his bedroom door and approaches my back as I stare in the mirror. His golden blonde hair is parted down the center and tied back into a ponytail, accentuating the sharpness of his cheekbones and the full curve of his lips. Broad shoulders taper to a muscular chest and narrow waist, and I know from the feel of his erection when he ground his hips against mine earlier, he's working with something colossal. You haven't said more than two words since we left the garden. Malcolm's voice is smooth and rich, like liquid honey, and my nerves spark to full alert. Judging from your midnight display, I know you're not shy. You must be curious. About him? Hell yes. It's the reason I went to Hunter for seduction lessons in the first place, to capture Malcolm's attention. Everywhere he goes, he's escorted by two gorgeous women, the Bimbo Squad, as I call them, and is more handsome than a Hemsworth in Thor gear. I don't know what to say. In my reflection, my gaze lowers to the yellow patterned dress clinging to my curves. After the way I behaved with you the other night, I didn't think you'd invite me back. Yes, he says, smirking. The banana. The banana. I parrot, fighting off the wave of humiliation flooding through me. Taking a deep breath, I spin around slowly and look up at him. Can we just forget that ever happened? Not a snowball's chance in hell. He bursts out laughing, holding his stomach as if he's tied up inside. I'll never forget that, not for as long as I live. I've never seen someone demolish a fruit that way. You broke the shaft right off. And now I can't help but laugh, too. Hunter's first rule of seduction backfired. Big time. He told me to become the physical lure, glancing at Malcolm from afar, talking slowly and eating seductively to draw attention to my mouth. But I'm awkward when I'm nervous, and Hunter didn't take that into account. So when Malcolm invited me up to his room for a nightcap, I grabbed a banana off a fruit plate and tried to become the seductress Hunter had trained me to be. I choked on too big of a bite, broke the fruit in half. The thick piece of banana meat dropped to the floor with a thud, dragging my hopes of seducing Malcolm along with it. Not sexy at all. Okay, okay, I say, smacking him in the chest. I tried to be sexy, but it didn't work. You pinched my foot. I nod, blush heating my cheeks. I did that too. But only because Hunter said I should find ways to touch him. You're not going to let me live this down, are you? No, I'm not. He shakes his head and then folds his arms over his chest. You are an intriguing woman, Snow. There are layers to you that I wasn't expecting. You were shy at times in certain situations, and speak your mind at others. You put off a demure, innocent vibe, and then let someone binge you over the hood of his car in the middle of the pouring rain. Guess I'm complex. I shrug. Like an onion with all those layers. I'd argue that you're more of a flower with layers of petals. He sweeps a loose strand of hair over my shoulder. You're soft and demure with an irresistible quality I can't put my finger on. I came here because your stepmother said you were interested in me. But now, I'm the one enraptured. You're fascinating, Snow. I can't quite wrap my mind around you. How is this possible? Someone who was voted New York's most eligible bachelor and topped White Wolf Pack's sexiest unmated list is standing right in front of me, telling me how fascinated he is with me. He's everything I've ever wanted in a mate. Happiness streaks through me, warming my chest. I'm this close to having everything I've ever wanted. A mate who adores me, and a happily ever after on the estate my late father built from the ground up. Snow, I don't like pulling punches in or out of the boardroom. Bottom line is, I get what I want. His voice turns dark as he presses closer, towering over me. And what I want right now is you. Shivers scream up my spine as I lower my gaze to the hardwood. I can't get my thoughts together. Not a comprehensible word when I'm looking up at him. Using two fingers and a feather-light touch, he tilts my chin so that I can't look anywhere but into his eyes. What is your bottom line? No bullshit. Pinching my eyes close, I picture Hunter. Dark haircut close to his scalp, square jaw, full lips, blazing sapphire eyes, and a body that was built to pleasure mine. But he doesn't want to settle down. He doesn't even have plans to stay in the area. There is no future with him. I have to push thoughts of him aside. I have to think about more than mind-blowing sex, if that's possible. I'm about to become alpha of the wolf pack. With that role comes a responsibility. I'm no longer one person, able to make decisions selfishly. As of today, the pack must come first, no matter what, in every aspect of my life. I want someone who will make my dreams come true, I say, even though the words sound foolish to my ears. He must understand how much this estate means to me and be willing to run it by my side, as long as I can come up with the money to keep it out of foreclosure. He has to treat me like a princess during the day and a sex slave at night. Those were Hunter's words, the ones he spoke to me yesterday. But he was right. He always seems to know what I want. And once that man touches me, he should never want to stop. Hunter can't give me those things. Not if he's planning on leaving tomorrow and never coming back. But Malcolm, dead sexy and standing right in front of me, could give me a future beyond my wildest dreams. I can't find a single thing wrong with him. Not one thing, as I study the bold curve of his cheekbones, the sweeping line of his jaw, his wide nose, and almond-shaped eyes. And he's into me. Talk about winning the man-crush lottery. You and I are more compatible than you realize, He licks his lips slowly, letting his tongue linger in the corner of his mouth as his eyes shadow over. Turn around. What? Oh. Putting his hands on my hips, he spins me around so that I'm staring at my reflection once more. My raven hair spills over my shoulders, framing my heart-shaped face. My skin is white as porcelain against the yellow of my dress. What am I supposed to be looking at? Slowly, brushing my shoulder blades with the pads of his fingers, Malcolm unzips the back of my dress and slides it down to the groove of my waist, and then over the swell of my hips, until it pools on the floor at my feet. Chills consume me as cool drafts of air hit my exposed skin. I'm nude, and cold, and completely vulnerable. Beyond my control, my body arches into his touch, into the heat of his body. I'm drawn to him on every level. He truly is the perfect guy. As he takes me in with sweeping glances, I do the same, and I can't find one freaking thing wrong with him. Look how absolutely gorgeous you are, he finally says. You are stunning. As I stand in front of the mirror, the warmth of his breath hits my back, and my eyes flutter closed. Nerves tighten in my stomach as I wait for his hands to close over my breasts. I want to lay you down and explore every inch of you. His voice is liquid sex, commanding, yet soft. But first, you're gonna do it for me. What? I start to turn toward him, but he links his hands around my wrists and guides them to my breasts. Don't turn around. His lips are on the slope of my neck, and I'm covered in chills once more. Close your eyes. I do as he commands, the air hitching in my lungs as the full weight of my breasts rest in my palms. He's holding me with my back pressed to his chest, his arms coiled beneath my arms, his fingers over mine, guiding them in a kneading motion over my nipples. The feel of him behind me, protective and strong, relaxes every muscle that had been tight moments before. Are your nipples hard beneath your fingers? His voice is barely a whisper, a caress against my trembling flesh, as he grips my hands, causing me to squeeze my breasts. Or are they soft and waiting for my tongue? They're soft, I guess. I sound like a freaking moron, but I've never touched myself and told someone about it. This is phone sex stuff, and I've never done that either. This is totally new territory I'm stumbling through. Close your eyes and imagine my mouth covering your tits, my tongue flicking out over your nipples. Like a strobe of lightning, Hunter's face flashes through the darkness as I close my eyes. In my mind, it's Hunter's hand that grips my breasts hard as he lowers his head and sucks my nipple into his hot mouth. Sensations ripple through me, pebbling my flesh, tightening my nipples to buds. Yeah, you like that, don't you? Malcolm says, backing away. I knew you would. My eyes flip open, and I'm brought back into the moment, to Malcolm's room and his prying eyes as he parks himself on the edge of the bed and watches my every move. He unzips his pants and jerks his massive erection free. He's long and hard, the thick tip of his shaft passing his belly button. Don't watch me, he says, shoving his pants off. I want your eyes on the mirror, so you know what you look like when you're experiencing pleasure. Oh, God. He's really going to go through with this. He wants me to get myself off. But I've never done this in front of someone before. Reluctance tugs on something in my middle, dampening the pleasure that'd been sparking there when he was behind me, his back against mine, his mouth on my neck. I want him to come back, for the pressure of his body to rest against mine. Are you wet? He asks, as the sound of his pants hitting the floor registers in my ears. If I was behind you, bending you over the bed, would I be able to slip my dick right inside? Or would I have to play with your clit first? Holy hell. He's dirty. I wasn't expecting to hear him say such explicit things. My cheeks and ears are on fire, burning with embarrassment. But my stomach is tossing and turning, and a hollow ache is growing between my legs. Deep inside, on some level I've never known, I like the way he's talking to me.
Why don't you touch yourself and find out?
He purrs. I'm frozen, stunned, about to break through the point of no return. My heart pounds in an erratic rhythm as I close my eyes and run my hands down my body to the juncture between my legs. As my fingers slip between my folds, Hunter's face fills the darkness on the backs of my eyelids. His eyes are heavy-lidded, his tongue shooting over my clit, swirling and sucking until I'm aching, and there's only one thing that'll soothe the low throbbing in my belly. My lips part as a moan shudders through me.
Yeah, that's it,
I hear Malcolm say, though he sounds far away, removed from my body in this moment.
I want to sink into that tight pussy so damn bad. Do you want me inside you?
I imagine Hunter's fingers sinking into my heat. He strokes me from the inside out until my legs are leaden with desire, too heavy to hold up my weight. Nodding, biting my lower lip, I widen my stance for him, gasping and trembling as he slams his palm against my mound and drives three fingers deep, stretching me to the fullest. His mouth is on mine, hot and wet, and I'm devouring him, panting, my mouth falling open as the orgasm crashes over me in a suffocating wave of heat.
God, Snow, don't stop,
a dark voice says, and the sound of flesh sliding against flesh hits my ears.
You're gonna make me.
But then Malcolm's naked body rams against mine, jerking my eyes open. His hand twists in my hair as he bends me against him, moving and tilting my mouth so he can plunge his tongue deep. As he gives a low, throaty moan, his free hand sears down my body to my ass, where he grabs and squeezes, causing me to rear against him in pain. I'm flattened against his muscular frame, prisoner to his hands and tongue, and the lust spiking through me. He's riding the border between pain and pleasure, and I can't stop moisture from pooling between my legs. He's fucking hot as hell, and judging from the way he's grinding his rod against my stomach, he'd be a sex god too. But every time I close my eyes, Hunter's there.
Turn around so I can look at that ass.
Malcolm,
do what you were fucking told.
He spins me around, bends me over, and slides a hand down my spine. Ripples of goose flesh follow the path of his hand, all the way between my cheeks. Digging his fingers into the curve of my hips with one hand, he uses the other to stroke himself, faster and faster, until the sound of his dick sliding through his hand is all I can hear.
God, I can't stop. I'm gonna come all over you. Fuck!
And then he explodes, thrusting against me, moaning wildly, dropping his head back as he coats my backside with the warmth of his release. Pleasure sparks inside me, fierce and hot. But when I glance at the reflection, my heart stops. He's sexy as hell, everything I've been waiting for. And I should be turning around and jumping his bones right about now, kissing him, leaping into his arms so he can carry me back to his bed, and we can do this again and again and again.
I get the feeling I'll never have enough of you.
He pauses, kissing the back of my neck and my shoulders. And then, after cleaning me up with a towel from the bathroom, he says,
after you're declared alpha at tonight's ceremony, I'll announce my plan to take you as my mate.
He didn't really give me a choice in the matter, did he? I know what he's offering, a life I've always dreamed of. One filled with hot sex, travels in New York, a successful jewelry business, and a marriage and children at the estate. I'd rule the pack with him at my side. Thanks to Hunter's seduction lessons, I succeeded at getting Malcolm to offer everything I've ever wanted. But Malcolm is not the man I'd hope to see behind me in that mirror.
Chapter 2. Hunter. Time crawls, each second tortured with images of Snow and Malcolm and their lips locked in that forceful kiss. I caught them in the garden. I shouldn't have looked, should have turned away. But it was like watching a train wreck. I couldn't tear my eyes away. Couldn't stop the air from punching out of my lungs. Snow couldn't have liked it. At least that's what I'm telling myself. I thought by now I would have had a better handle on the situation. Snow came to me with one purpose: to learn how to seduce Malcolm. I taught her how to become the physical lure, how to become the center of his universe. And now, where the hell does that leave me? Alone, and wanting her. 5 years ago, when I told Snow's father that I'd return this weekend, I knew I'd meet up with Snow. That was part of my promise to him. Watch her become Alpha, and then give her his gift. Something that had belonged to her mother, and her mother before her. Not sure why I couldn't trust the gift with her stepmother, but I couldn't, and would never, question my Alpha about his motives. I knew seeing her would be difficult, after being gone for so long, but I didn't expect it to affect me this way, making me question everything. She's not the sweet, innocent girl I walked away from 5 years ago. No, now she's a siren, calling me closer with every sultry word whispered from her lips. She's a temptress, promising the best fucking sex of my life. She's delivered on that promise, and then some. She's not mine. I'm spinning so hard, my mind plagued with memories of her fingers raking against my abs, my dick deep inside her, and I can't think about anything that makes a damn bit of sense. She wants someone else. As rage tears through me, I stop on the outskirts of my property and listen to the whooping and hollering of my buddies partying inside my cabin. They're six of my best friends in the world, but they wouldn't understand. They wouldn't know a damn thing about the war raging inside me now. They wouldn't relate, or even try to. Hell, if I told them Snow had me thinking about settling down and bonding with her as my only mate ever, they'd get me pissed drunk in a vain attempt to drown the insanity out of me. Maybe I am crazy, but she's got me questioning everything. I want her, even though I shouldn't, even though she's probably with Malcolm now, fucking off into the sunset. She's firmly rooted in the land here, in the estate, and the only way my business thrives is if I'm out in the world, buying exotic ski lodges and fixing them up. Screw this. Crouching below the cabin stairs, I ball the shifting energy of the moon in my gut and focus on Snow. Her angelic, heart-shaped face, narrow chin, button nose, and dark brown eyes. My body pulses with power as fur covers my skin. Every muscle in my body twitches and pulses and explodes into wolf form. Clothes fall from my body in shreds, fangs drop from my gums as my nose lengthens, and when the shift is complete, I sit back to my haunches and cry at the moon. Then, power surging through me, I take off, charging into the night, widening my stride and letting the strength of my lupine muscles drive me deeper into the forest. This is what this weekend was designed for, the reason the White Estate closes its doors during the full moon. In the privacy of the forest, we can be ourselves, running, hunting, mating as we please. But I've been so consumed by Snow, I haven't had a chance to stretch my legs. Maybe this is all I need to get my head on straight. She's with Malcolm now. This was her goal all along. He can give her what she needs. As her friend, I should be fucking happy for her, not wishing Malcolm a slow and painful death. Okay, I wouldn't go that far. I don't want the fucker to keel over. But if someone punched him in the nutsack until he passed out in a pool of his own vomit, I wouldn't complain. Snow's intoxicatingly sweet scent hits my nose. But I must be delirious, because once Malcolm gets his hands on her, he is not going to let her out of his sight. A howl erupts from the deepest part of me as I rush through the forest, weaving around trees and leaping over fallen logs. Ahead, a natural hot spring comes into view between the lush of certain trees. Snow and I used to swim here when we were teens, toss each other around in the water, and bitch about how stressful our lives were, as if we had any idea. Thoughts racing, I pat around the steaming mineral spring and... Hunter? Stopping mid-stride, I crane around and get an eyeful of Snow standing on the opposite side of the spring. From the adorable pinch of her eyebrows and the frown creasing her forehead, I'd say she's been standing there a while, watching me stare into the bubbling waters. Her hair is damp, as if she just showered, long and draping over her shoulders, and her skin is fragrant with the unmistakable scent of her favorite rose and lavender lotion. I used to love the smell of that on her. It still tickles my nose. The red strapless dress covering her curves is silky and fine, a barely there fabric that looks more like a sheet than a dress. One glance, and I long to howl at the moon in agony. "What are you doing here?" I mind speak, as I turn to face her. "Thought you'd still be with Malcolm." She folds her arms over her chest and stares me down. And I realize I don't care what happened between her and what's-his-fuck. I don't need to know any more than I already do. With one hard mental push, I shift back. Fur gives way to skin, and my body returns to its human form. I'm keenly aware of Snow's eyes on me as I rise from the ground and approach her, muscles flexing and twitching, my naked body glistening with sweat. "Don't answer that." I can feel my gaze burning into her as I run my hand along her cheek. "It doesn't matter. You're here now, and that's enough for me. You are more than enough."
"Hunter."
"The one and only." I curl my fingers around her wrist and draw it to my mouth. I plant a kiss on the palm of her hand, never tearing my eyes from hers. "You're not tied to me, Snow." Something snags in my chest as I drown in the depths of her eyes. "If you want to be with Malcolm, if you believe he's the guy who'll make you happy, then you should be with him. End of story. You don't owe me a single explanation."
"I have to tell you something."
She swallows hard as her gaze drops to my bare abs and lower to my straining erection, which is bobbing in the space between us.
"But I can't think when you're pointing at me."
Just like that, any tension that had been between us before is gone. She laughs, so I kiss her quiet, taking her mouth and slipping my tongue past her lips. I tunnel my fingers through her hair and cup the back of her neck to draw her closer, tilt her head, and slant her mouth against mine. Whimpering deep in her throat, she kisses me back, coiling her arms around my neck as her tongue strokes the inside of my cheek. As she rubs against my erection, I devour more of her mouth and relish the currents of heat radiating from her body to mine. She's burning, aching. The need in her kiss is desperate and primal, and I'm so ready to give her everything, all I have. Lifting her off her feet, I press her against me until we're so close that she's panting into my mouth, and I'm breathing her in, letting her air fill every aching part of me. Step by slow step, I move toward the spring and lower us into the pool. Water bubbles around us, lifting her dress so that it flares around her in a silken spill of red. She is soft and wet and molding into my arms as I take a ragged breath and pin her against the edge of the spring. Planting my hands against the rocks on either side of her shoulders, I trap her with the cage of my body. And now, I'm never letting her go.
"Hunter."
As if she's reading my thoughts, a smirk plays at the corner of her succulent mouth.
"I'm not going anywhere."
I groan in approval, peeling the silky gown from her body and tossing it onto the bank next to us. Lowering my head to her breasts, I lick and suck and gently grate my teeth against her nipples until she's shivering from pleasure, her hips rising out of the water. Flattening my hand against her stomach, I press her down as her chest arches higher, reaching for more. "Your body feels so damn good sliding against me." As I assault her nipples with flicks of my tongue, I reach down, brush my fingers over her clit, and slip a finger inside her. So fucking tight. Gasping, She lifts up, her smooth legs spreading wide as I pound into her heat.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?